Je vais donner la parole à mon collègue, le professeur Gyrith Svoboda, qui nous vient de Brno, de l'Académie des sciences de la République tchèque et de l'Université de Brno. Et Gyrith travaille il travaille depuis très longtemps en Moravie sur des sites qui livrent certaines des sépultures que je vous ai montrées et aussi un matériel absolument d'une richesse extraordinaire laissé par ces chasseurs de mammouths qui vivaient dans ces régions-là il y a 25-30 000 ans. Vous allez voir que c'est un matériel archéologique absolument exceptionnel.
Bonsoir. Je vais parler en anglais parce que je n'ai pas tellement d'occasion de parler en français. Je ne vais pas risquer de me perdre dans la terminologie et dans la grammaire française qui est assez compliquée. To start with, I will start where Jean-Jacques Iblen had finished. This is strange because we have quite similar views on what happened at the earlier Propylaetic. This is not frequent in the jungle of disputes between anthropologists and archaeologists. But the yellow points show the one line of technologically distinct industries, which we call Aterian, Bohunisian, and you may also follow them till Siberia and even to northern China. And the red arrows point to another line of industries which have backed blades and microblades. And this is the line that you heard about, that is Ahmarian and Proto-Orinacian. And for the first line, we have very few fossils or almost none. And for the second one, it's even more complicated because we have some modern human fossils at the beginning, and then we have Neanderthal fossils at the end in the Châtel-Péronien. So this is quite confusing pictures, and there are many viewpoints about that. And I think that acculturation is quite reasonable answer to these disputes. But what I wanted to show on this, related to the Gravettian, is that in terms of technology, these backed blade industries and microblade industries that appeared about 40,000 years ago might be a root of the Gravettian technocomplex which appeared 10,000 years later. Now, if you look at the genetists, this is again from the same paper which has been quoted already before. So you see that the length of these lines show how old the investigated fossils were. And we have quite confusing pictures at the very beginning because we also have a few post-fossils at that time, around 40,000 BP. But around 30,000 BP, you see the blue lines in the center and also in Moravia, in the Czech Republic, and also in Italy and in Belgium. And this is what the genetists now call the cluster Dolní Věstonice, and this may be a base of the Gravettian population. This is based on the nuclear DNA, and from the mitochondrial DNA, these blue points again point to haplogroups which are united into the big haplogroup U, and these are the various U5 and U2. And you see the cluster of them in the Gravettian period, and then you see a bottleneck, and then some of them appear even after the bottleneck, which corresponds to the glacial maximum, and some of them are still present in the recent population of Europe, namely in the north of Europe. So now we are coming to the Gravettian population. You see that we have quite a number of faces, and we also have good context. You have seen some of these in the previous presentation. And this is the difference compared to the previous period, to the Origination, where most of the fossils are scattered, are fragmentary, or dubious, or small. And maybe this is also related to the burial ritus, which has not been so elaborated as in the Gravettian. And in the Gravettian now you see how well equipped, with how much care the bodies were buried. And this is a situation that you see all over Europe. And again, I put the Moravian finds in the center. This is from a burial that has been found in the late 19th century. And this was probably the largest burial we have from the Gravettian. There were more than 20 individuals, and the site is called Předmostí. Unfortunately, most of these fossils, or practically 99%, were destroyed during World War II. And this would be the largest assemblage we ever had. You also see from this that there are very tall and robust statures, especially in the males, in the style that you heard before about the Nilotic or East African style of a stature, and also very pronounced sexual dimorphism. This is the most typical male and most typical female, and also most complete skeletons from this big assemblage, which we don't have anymore. But what we have are the new discoveries which we found 30 years ago. This is the triple burial of Dolní Věstonice. Now we know that all of them are males, but the central person is only determined as male on the base of genetics, because anthropologically for 30 years no one was able to decide whether it was male or female, because it was a strange individual, intermediary in form. And probably this is also why he was placed in the middle of the burial. And 1 year later was found a male burial. You see that he comes from a very complex settlement situation with three settlement units. And the skeleton was placed next to a hearth, probably in what is the remain of a hut. So this is male of about 40 years old, older than the three males from the triple burial. And we also can look at their faces, which are rectangular in shape with quadrangular orbits, massive mandibles. And we can also compare this with the Paleolithic art, which we have from the same sites. So this was to present the Gravettian population of Moravia. Now I would like to say a few words about the technological innovations they brought. You may know from a child who claimed that Neolithic is represented by domestication and by ceramics and by textile. And he is right in when he says that it was the expansion of these technologies. But the roots of these discoveries were known in the Gravettian already, as we see. We see that they were grinding vegetational materials, probably to make something like a flour. And these are some starch grains that from Typha latifolia, most probably, that were recently discovered on the grindstones from the sites of Pavlov and also at Dolní Věstonice. So they didn't cultivate these plants, but they were able to process them and to consume them. Another, this is a big question, which I don't want to go too deep in, but this is the question of dog domestication. I would say on this that there is something strange with the wolves at our sites. And there is a big variability of wolves. You have big wolves and you have small wolves. And it is very difficult to say that the small one are dogs. It's very, very dangerous to go directly about that. But you see that there is something strange, because sometimes you find complete skeletons of wolves, which were probably buried in a similar style like the humans. And even here, this is a picture from this Předmostí find, which I have shown before, where you see how similar is the deposition of the wolf skeleton to the human skeletons, which were discovered in late 19th century. This situation, of course, is affected by secondary removals. But the left picture is from 2 years ago excavation, and this is intact. So I don't want to I want to leave the question of wolf domestication as open, and there is big dispute and much more analysis is necessary before we can conclude about this. But we have something that is quite clear. We have production of bent clay figurines. We don't have containers, we don't have vessels, but clay has been burned to produce a variety of figurines, animal and human. I will show later more of these examples. And they are found in a fragmentary state like this, usually around the hearth where the pieces were produced. And on the surface of the ceramic pieces, we can find things which we wouldn't find otherwise, like fingerprints, for example, but also structures which Olga Soffer some time ago suggested that are imprints of textiles. So we would have ceramics, we would have weaving, but you see that they were not used too practically, these discoveries. The clay was not used to make pottery, and the textile, we don't think that they had clothes of textile, probably some smaller things, but of course animal skins were the major material to make clothes. And we also have polished stone, which Child also mentioned, but not for axes, but for figurines and decorative objects. So the use of these discoveries was in the Gravettian was not as practical as in the Neolithic, but the principle was already known. Now, chapter 3, Gravettian lifestyles. I wanted to show that even if we talk about a Gravettian unity, there is a variety of environments in Europe. It's different in the Mediterranean and different in the northern steppes, north of the Alps. And you also see that there is a variety of animals that were hunted, or dominating animals. So traditionally, horse and reindeer were the major animals in central and northern Europe. Compared to the Mediterranean, where you also have capricorns and gazelles and cervids. But the Gravettian is specific in Moravia by having a large number of mammoths, more than anything else. And even in Moravia, previously in the Origenacian, we have reindeer horse, and later in the Magdalenian, we have reindeer horse. But the Gravettian was a mammoth-based culture. And again, there is a dispute how much the mammoths were intentionally hunted and how much these are probably just die-outs, natural die-outs of these animals that were used by the humans. These disputes are running more than one century. One of the answers can be given by the morphology of the sites. You see that our major sites in Moravia are located on slopes of a large mountain. Now the fields are quite plain, but when we excavate in this area, you will see that previously it was cut by numerous gorges, that there was water running in these gorges, and it was a very unstable landscape, which can be very good for hunting. This is a faunal composition where you see what kind of animals we find, but this is a composition in the settlement. And next to the settlements, we have mammoth bone deposits. Sometimes they are a few hundred meters away, sometimes they are directly adjacent to the settlement or even inside. And if we would calculate the mammoth bone deposits, of course there would be 100 or 90% mammoths. So this would change radically this picture. So one could imagine that the mammoths were in the along the river or in the basin, and that some of the gorges where you find the arrows point to the largest mammoth bone deposits, that in these areas the selected animals from the big number that was assembled around the river have been pushed against slope where there were springs and mud and it was wet, and a smaller animal could climb down, and then it was easy to hunt even a large animal like a mammoth. And these are examples of the mammoth bone deposits, two cases, one from Dolní Věstonice 1, another from Milovice, and you see how big accumulations of mammoth bones there are. Then we may ask what kind of weapons they had, and you see that there is a big variability of weapons. There are weapons made of ivory and of stone, and probably there were also wooden weapons. We have some small fragments of wood also. But you see that there is also a variability in size, because some of the projectiles are microliths, if these are projectiles, but some of them were. And of course the microliths, you have to combine them and compose them. So if you remember the diagram, there are also small animals in the spectrum, like hare or birds, and we also have some fishes, but very few for taphonomic reasons. So Olga Soffer, when she studied the imprints in the clay, she suggested that she sees knots and she sees nets, and that there was probably a net hunting, both for smaller mammals like hares or for fishes. So the strange thing is that we have the largest animals like mammals and the smallest animals like hares and birds, but less middle-sized animals, horse and reindeer, compared to the other Upper Paleolithic cultures. Now I would very, very quickly pass through some of the recently excavated sites. This is one of the largest sites we have, Pavlov I. The advantage of Pavlov I is that it was excavated by two major excavation projects, always with a kind of strategy, so that we can compose a complete site plan with probable features in it. And also the mammoth bone deposit, which is in the right, in that triangle, you see it on the picture below. And this place now is a museum, modern museum building, where part of the mammoth bone deposit can be seen in the field. This is another case. It was excavation in 2007, where it was very small. It was just one unit, one pit in the center filled with stones, small kettle-shaped pits around, probably boiling pits, and remains of two mammoth individuals. So, in fact, the large sites are combined from the small sites of this type. So this was important because here we could see one unit, and probably the large sites are palimpsests of these big units. Another important site, now recently published, is Dolní Věstonice 2, which has a mammoth bone deposit in the adjacent gully, and there is a cluster of various settlement units on the top, and you see the mammoth bone deposit again. This is a smaller one compared to the other side, but here we know that it was underwater because there are water snails all around, inside the bones and around the bones. So they deposited the mammoth bones in a small lake. And this is the last excavation from 2012. And again, we found one unit which we could explore in a detail. And here it was also important that we found earlier Gravettian layers, because we could study very, very fine microstratigraphic sequences. And another case, this was a few years ago when old wine cellars collapsed and we've got into unknown wine cellars in a village center, and then we saw mammoth bones on the ceiling, so we excavated from the base to the top, but it was quite dangerous and we had to stop. So we made a paper about it and documented all what there was, but it was physically or technically impossible to continue. But there is a large site below this village. And Předmostí, we also came back to Předmostí, the site I mentioned at the beginning, where very little is left. So we were very careful. And what we excavated again is now conserved under a museum. You can see that the burial of the 20 or 20 people was not far from us. It was about 40 meters. And we excavated this mammoth bone deposit, which was quite near to that burial. So it is very probable that also the bodies were laid together with the mammoth bones as a deposit, not in the middle of the settlement, but in the depository part of Předmostí site. So this is another recently built museum that we have and where we can show how the mammoth bone deposits are laid. Okay, this I will pass very briefly. I wanted to show by this that when we want to understand the what was happening in our sites, without saying that it was the same thing, sometimes it's useful to look at recently frequented sites by pastoralists in the north, and to look. You see that the economy is completely different. This is a reindeer economy. But again, you can see surfaces with settlement units, the so-called chums or tents. You can see hearths, you can see activity traces, and you can see depository areas around. So this was the main aim, to see how this function. And of course, the people are there, so you can talk with them and you can consult and see how a site like this operates. And also, one unit, one chum or one tent has its logic. It has a hearth. They will tell you that it has one half which is male, other part is female. There is a place for sacred objects. And you can just get more ideas about how a prehistoric settlement could have functioned. Also, we find this picture from Dolní Věstonice to the right, where Bohuslav Klíma excavated a very nice stone circle around a hearth, which is interpreted as one of the best huts at Dolní Věstonice. And to the left is a picture from the Arctic, where are these stone circles to stabilize the features. They are also in North America, where they call them tipi rings. And we were also able to detect where children play, to find areas where children have their toys, and which create parts of the settlements, and traces in the landscape which are everywhere, and which we of course do not find during our excavation at Dolní Věstonice and Pavlov. But you can see from it that they use every part of the landscape like if they were at home, and they leave everywhere traces of their activities, like wood cutting above, probably some sacred installations to the left, or just leaving objects that you don't need at the moment, but you may need them later on the ground. And of course, sacred landscapes. This is a point which we keep in mind, but we cannot prove it for our Upper Paleolithic sites. The people in the Arctic collect, for example, reindeer antler and deposit them on specific places in the landscape. And through this, I came to the last part of my talk, and this will be about art. We have specific mobile art in the Gravettien, and you also see that these specific figurines of the Gravettien can really unite the Eurasia from France to Siberia. And rarely, of course, I'm not talking about France. In France, there is a lot of Gravettien parietal cave sites, but a few of them is also in the Urals in Russia. So I wanted first to show some aspects. I cannot talk about Gravettien art in general, because it would be a long, long talk, but some interesting aspects. We may see that some of these female pictures are related to fat women, while others are related to pregnant women. Sometimes it's very difficult to distinguish the two, but in these cases it is possible. Sometimes you also find impacts on the pregnant belly, impacts by stone, for reasons which we don't understand, but it's repeatedly found. Someone was beating the belly with a stone. Then we have old ladies, but we have also young ladies. I mentioned the ceramic figurines already. So here are cases where ceramics was used to show female bodies, and you see that they have a kinds of belts or cords. We don't know the meaning of this, but it's repeatedly found. And this is the famous Venus of Dolní Věstonice, where you may see a combination of various anthropomorph motifs which we find in Gravettien art of Dolní Věstonice and Pavlov. And you see that some of the motifs, like up there, can be interpreted as both male and female symbolics. And also in France, there are many examples about various jokes in Paleolithic arts and combinations and play with shapes. So this may be a case where you see this female masculine symbol at the top, and in fact the bottom of the figurine is typically female triangular triangular female symbol, and this is being somehow combined in the Gravettian art. Then you also see a high stylization, like on this figurine from Předmostí, into geometric shapes, geometric forms. And of course, you see mammoth, the main animal of our region, in a simple way, but in this case quite monumental. Zoomorphs are also depicted in the ceramics, in the baked clay pieces, and one may say that they didn't so much the most important animals in art were mammoths, of course, rhinos, which were not hunted, this is strange, but also big carnivores, especially the lions, which also were not hunted. They were rather competing predators to humans. So the theory of hunting magic doesn't work here too well, similarly like in the Western European caves. The dominant animals are the most imposing animals, the most remarkable, not simply the prey. Then we have another case of what we call, or what we may call, maps. These are geometric drawings that show some association with the landscape which you see in the area today. This is below is an example from recent Indian drawings, which also show this very geometric and simple map. But here we know the story. It's a story about Indian who went to steal horses to another village and came back on that horse already, came barefoot there and on a horse back. And it gives much more information about composition of the village, who was there, and what kind of huts there were, who was living in that huts, and so on. So this is just an ethnographic example, and above is a story that we may or may not see in a mammoth tusk. And it's not only this one, but there is a number of them. And the ethnology also tell us that the hunters or nomadic people in general are very good in making maps. They have very good idea of geography, maybe even better than many of us today. And so creating maps, you can hardly prove it, but it has a kind of logic. This is another case where this is the site of Předmostí, which I mentioned several times before. And it is a narrow corridor, narrow passage, which goes to an even narrower point, deeper behind. And so the drawing on this mammoth tusk recalls very much the landscape which is around there. And usually there is also the sight on it, a small circle or square, which in this case is just at the place where it should be. And we think that if these are maps, so the aim was practical. They probably provide some information. The lines can tell us about the terrain, if it was good for hunting or not, or kind of information which would be practical for life and hunting. Then we have very typical items of body decoration, which is geometric and is filling a space with very typical kind of patterns for the Gravettian of Central Europe. And they are also in Eastern Europe, but the style there is a little bit different. And finally, this is my last slide. I was wondering if there might be some heritage of these Gravettian people in recent culture. And over the millennia that has passed. And if you would look for a heritage, so of course you would look for it again in Siberia and northern Asia in generally. And we find frequently these circles which are to the left. And we don't know what these circles are. They are big like this, perforated. And some of them were found in human burials or next to human burials in the Gravettian. And you see that these circles are found today. The upper case is from a burial in Korea. It's taken in a museum in Seoul. And the lower one is from China. And there we know what these discs means. They are symbols of heaven. And the hole inside is a place where the energy can pass. And we also have these circles on Siberian shamans, which use them to penetrate from one world to the other in their spiritual travels. So this is a case where one may think of some kind of archetypes. And besides this is also a good case of polishing stones in the Paleolithic. So as I promised, this is the last slide, and that's it. Thank you.